1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you. Thank you that you are our Father because of the work of Christ. Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word together, Lord, would you give me the words to say? Would your Holy Spirit open our eyes, open our hearts to receive your word, Father? Would you change us? Would you show us the good news of your Son, and would you make us more like him? I ask that you'd be with me, Lord. In his name, amen. Great. So, as people, we all love to know when things are going to happen, don't we? You know, if there's a plan or an event happening, we love to know exactly what time it's going to start. I love the Google Calendar app that I have on my phone. I put every event and everything that is happening in my life into my calendar. It's all planned out and color-coded, and my life would be pretty stressful without it. And some of you might be the same. Maybe you have a diary or a calendar at home that everything is planned out in. Every social event, every catch-up, every appointment, every assignment. It's a natural thing to do, I guess. And you see something like this going on with the Thessalonians. Verse 1 says, concerning the times and the seasons. The Thessalonians obviously wanted to know when the Lord was going to return. When was his return going to happen? They wanted to neatly sort it out in their calendars. And in chapter 4, the chapter before this, we see Paul dealing with their concerns about believers who had already passed away. They thought that those believers would miss out on the return of the Lord. But in chapter 4, Paul corrected this worry by saying, don't worry, they won't miss out. The believers who have passed away will have their physical bodies raised, and we will all be together with the Lord. And so now, where we are this morning in chapter 5, the natural question is, well, when will that happen? They want to know when it will happen. And in essence, Paul says, I don't actually need to tell you, for you guys know that no one knows when the Lord will return. The rest of the passage then is Paul talking about the second coming through three different metaphors. Paul uses three different metaphors to talk about the second coming of Christ. And those three metaphors, of course, will be our 3 points for today. The first metaphor we have is thief and labor. The second metaphor we have is this metaphor of light and darkness. And the third metaphor is a metaphor about armor. So we have the thief and labor, light and darkness, and armor. Firstly, let's talk about the thief and labor. So read with me verse 2. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Some of you might have had experiences when a thief has broken into your house at night. It's not a nice experience, is it? It's not a nice feeling. In my first few years flatting, I flatted with Isaac, and we had a thief break into our house at night. They snuck into Isaac's room at night while Isaac was sleeping and stole his iPad and phone and things like that. And it wasn't even that late at night either. But it was a horrible and scary feeling. And I think part of the reason it's not a nice feeling is because it's so unexpected, right? You don't have any warning. You're completely unaware that tonight we're going to get robbed. So it takes you off guard. And that's what this metaphor of a thief is getting at here. We don't know when the Lord will return, and he will return unexpectedly. His return will take people off guard. But it will take unbelievers off guard. They will be the ones taken off guard. That's the main point here. While both believers and unbelievers don't know when the Lord will return, it will be a shock and a surprise to unbelievers. That horrible feeling of being unexpectedly robbed is a feeling only those who don't know Christ will feel. So that's the main point here. Just like a thief, we don't know when the Lord will come. Of course, that hasn't stopped various people throughout history claiming to know they know when the Lord will return. And it's crazy. Just think with me for a moment. Okay, so you're at your house, you're hanging out in the lounge, and you hear a knock on the door. So you go to the door, and there's a guy standing there with a balaclava on and a baseball bat, maybe. And he's like, "Hey, I'm a thief. I just thought I'd let you know that I was probably planning on robbing your house soon. Next week, Wednesday night is the plan. Thought it might be helpful if you knew that." It's not how it works, right? That would be crazy. It's ridiculous. And I say that to say this. No one knows when the Lord will return, and it's the height of arrogance to think that we know or that we've got some special revelation. So don't listen to such people. Jesus himself says in Matthew 24, verse 36, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And the metaphor continues. Verse 3, read with me verse 3. "While people were saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Paul continues with his metaphors about how unbelievers will be caught off guard when Christ returns. And now he says the return of Christ will be like sudden labor pains for unbelievers. Think about the language here. Paul doesn't say his return for unbelievers will be like a surprise birthday party. He doesn't say there will be balloons and party poppers for those who don't know him. Instead, there will be sudden destruction, pain, and no escape. I don't know much about giving birth and labor and all that, but I know this. Once it starts, you don't stop. You go through with it. Like our text says, there is no escape. Now, if you're not a believer here today, can I just plead with you for a moment? Can I urge you to think concretely about what the Word of God says here? These are the words of the Creator of the world, the one who upholds the universe, and he does not lie. His words will come to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ will return to judge the world. But today, hear me. Hear me when I say that today is the day for salvation. Jesus came into the world to save it, to bring salvation, to bring freedom, to bring salvation to sinners like myself and you. and to bring freedom to sinners like myself and you. So don't wait any longer, but come to him today, and he will receive you and save you without delay. Believers, can I direct you to verse 4? This is what it says. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. That day when Christ returns will not be a day of pain, destruction, or fear for anyone who has believed in Christ. It will be the opposite. It will be a day of joy, of celebration, of peace. Think about what verse 4 says. Part of the reason a thief is often surprising and scary is because they come at night. You know, they come in darkness. If a thief comes in the day, that will be significantly less surprising, right? I imagine if a thief rocked up to my flat in the middle of the day, my first thought would probably be, hey man, whose friend are you? I would probably assume that they're just a friend that has arrived in the day, that they aren't a threat, but a friend. The Bible says this is what it will be like for believers. It will be like this because believers are not in darkness. They are in the light. Spiritually, we are in the light because we know Christ. We know who he is. And so he won't be a stranger sneaking up on us, but a friend. So believers, do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Do not live in worry. For the one who is returning is the one who died for you in love, and he will return for you in love. He is not a stranger. He loves us. This leads us on to our next point, this next metaphor of light and darkness. Light and darkness. So let's read together verse 5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So in this metaphor here, we have two groups of people. There are two types of people. There are people of the night and darkness, and there are people of the day and light. So there's people of the night and darkness, people of day and light. Now this metaphor is a metaphor of spiritual darkness and spiritual light. In other words, those who are in the dark, those who are in darkness about who Christ is, and those who are in the light know who Christ is. So unbelievers and believers. These two groups have characteristics. They have certain characteristics that Paul mentions here. Firstly, let's speak to those in darkness, those in the night. What are their characteristics? What are they characterized by? Verse 7 tells us, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. We have two words here, two characteristics. Sleep and drunkenness. Sleep and drunkenness. Now, what does this mean? Are those in spiritual darkness literally always asleep and always drunk? No, it's another metaphor. And what's the simplest way to understand this metaphor? Well, what do sleep and drunkenness have in common? What's similar about them? When you're asleep or drunk, you are unaware. You are unalert, unprepared, ignorant, senseless. For those of you who are deep sleepers, you probably know this to be particularly true. I'm a deep sleeper, so if you ask me a question while I'm half asleep, chances are you are not going to get a logical answer. Or imagine if a fire alarm went off when you were asleep. Chances are you are not going to wake up ready to go. You're not going to wake up ready to take on the world. Speaking for myself, there would be panic and confusion and unpreparedness. The same can be said for drunkenness. This is a spiritual metaphor that is saying those of the night, of the darkness, are characterized by being unaware, unalert, unprepared, senseless. What are those of the darkness and the night unaware of, though? Christ. They are unaware of Christ, unalert to his second coming, unaware that he will return to judge the living and the dead. This is why the thief comes as a surprise. Christ will come unexpectedly to those in darkness. Now let's speak to the second group. The second group are the people of day and light. They are in the light of Christ. They are believers. Now what are they characterized by? What are their characteristics? Verse 6 tells us, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." So we have the opposite two words here, awake and sober. Now what does this mean? Should those in spiritual light literally always be awake at night, waiting for the return of Christ? Are believers not allowed to sleep? No, it's another metaphor. Again, what does being awake and being sober have in common? They both mean that you're aware, that you're alert, that you're prepared. That's what children of the light should be like. Now, practically for a moment, what does that look like? What does it actually look like for believers to be awake and sober and prepared for Christ's return? Does it look like doomsday prepping and storing up food and building an apocalypse bunker? Does preparedness and being awake look like that? No, it doesn't. I'll expand further on this in our next point, but let me just say that believers who are prepared for Christ's return are simply people that think about Christ. Their mind is on Christ. They think about him. They are in the light about him. So when he comes, he won't be a surprise. A lot of people love to think about anything and everything, but not Christ. We forget it is Christ himself who is returning, not anything else. So think about the person of Christ. Now, before we move to the next point, I just want to press a little further on this metaphor of darkness and of light. In essence, what's the difference between these two groups? What's the difference? Is it that the people of the light are just better? Are they less sinful, so they are in the light? Have believers done more good things to get them into the light? No. So why then? John's gospel often uses this metaphor of light and darkness. Listen to John 8, verse 12. It says this, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. The difference between the two groups is Christ. If we want the light of life, we follow Christ. Let's move on to our last point, the last metaphor that Paul uses. It's this metaphor of armor, Let's read verse 8. "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." People wear clothing appropriate to what their jobs are, don't they? For example, my dad is a lawyer, and so he wears smart clothes to present himself well. Jolene, she's a nurse. She wears nurse clothes, like scrubs, so they can get dirty and stuff. And like Ben, she's a mechanic. I haven't seen him working, but I assume he wears overalls maybe to not get dirty. Anyway, the point is, people wear clothing that's appropriate to their jobs, right? And that is sort of what Paul is getting at here with this armor metaphor. As believers, we are given a uniform. We are given the armor of God himself. Isaiah 59 verse 17 talks about God himself going into battle with this armor on. And it's Christ's armor that he has won the battle in for us. So we don't need to conjure up some sort of armor for ourselves to wear, but we are gifted the very armor of Christ. And so that's what we stand in. That's what we wear. We stand in the perfect breastplate of the faith and love of Christ that was accomplished for us. And we stand in the guaranteed hope of our salvation that is to come. So back to our point before, what does a prepared and awake believer look like? They don't look like some panicked doomsday prepper, and they don't look like someone dreading the Lord's return. They look like someone standing in the faith, love, and hope of Christ. They look like someone who stands in his faith, love, and hope, and seeks to grow in these virtues. It's a picture of armor, isn't it? Which does mean battle. So the Christian must seek to grow in these things that Christ has accomplished for us. And we have the good news that the Spirit works these things in us. He works in us to produce these things. And the encouragement continues. Let's read verses 9 to 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. For believers, there is no wrath to come, only the fullness of salvation. The fullness of salvation. Why can we have this hope? Verse 10, he died for us. Believer, Christ who is returning is Christ who has died for you. He cannot come to you in wrath. He will only come to you in the fullness of salvation. His death has guaranteed it. And the same is true for any believers that are alive or have passed away. In verse 10 here, Paul is concluding his thought from chapter 4. In chapter 4, he was talking about how believers who are asleep, meaning believers who have passed away, and believers who are awake or alive, will both be with the Lord. So there is no disadvantage to passing away or being asleep before the Lord returns. For anyone who has believed, passed away or alive, Christ's death has guaranteed them life. His death has done more than just wash our sins away. His death has guaranteed us eternal life with him. So be encouraged by that this morning. Encourage one another with that this morning. And if you're not a believer, if you haven't come to Christ, come to him today. Today is the day of salvation. He does not lie. His word is true, and he will come again. So believers, look forward to his return, for he died for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have told us that you will come again, that your Son will come. And thank you, Lord, that you do not lie. And so we, as believers, hold on to this hope, Father, this hope that even though we're in a fallen world, Lord, and there's suffering and there's sadness, we hold on to hope that one day you will return and we will be with you, Lord. Whether we pass away before then or whether we live to see that day, Father, we know that we will be with you. Father, I pray for anyone here today who hasn't put their faith in you, that they would hear your word this morning, that they would see what you have said in your word, and that they would come to you, Lord, and be saved. We thank you, Lord, that salvation belongs to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.